You know that feeling when you really want to grasp something, get to the heart of it, but well, time is precious. You want the key stuff, the takeaways, without wading through like everything. That's exactly what we're doing today. We're taking a deep dive into motivation, what sparks it, what keeps it going, and ultimately how it fuels achievement.
Yeah, and to get a really full picture, we've pulled insights from, well, a few different angles. We're looking at motivation from a hypnotherapy view, grabbing practical tips from Psychology Today, and also digging into some super recent research, a 2025 evolutionary study from personality and individual differences on our basic human drives.
Exactly. So the mission is to boil all this down into, usable knowledge, those aha moments that help you understand not just the definition, but how it actually works. Okay, let's unpack this. At its most basic, what are we talking about with motivation?
Well, fundamentally, motivation is that internal force, the thing that pushes us toward our goals. Think of it like the engine starting and sustaining our efforts. And as a base, we can think about motivational states having three key parts. Direction, like what are you actually aiming for? Intensity, how much energy are you putting in? And persistence, how long do you stick with it, even when it gets tough?
That makes a lot of sense. It's not just wanting something, it's the actual drive and stick-to-itiveness you bring. And our sources also mentioned there are different kinds of fuel for this engine, right? Different things motivating us.
Absolutely. A really common distinction is between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Intrinsic, well, that comes from inside you, the joy, the curiosity, doing something because you just find it interesting.
Like playing guitar just for fun.
Exactly. And then extrinsic motivation comes from outside factors, rewards, maybe recognition, or even avoiding punishment, like studying hard for a scholarship. That's pretty classic extrinsic.
And it's not always something we consciously decide, is it? Sometimes we're driven by stuff we're not even really aware of.
That's a really crucial point, actually. We have conscious motivation, where we know why we're doing something, but then there's unconscious motivation, these underlying desires, impulses operating, under the surface. They influence us without us always realizing it.
Like wanting to get fit for health, but maybe unconsciously also wanting to, I don't know, look good or fit in.
Precisely. They can definitely work together, even if you're not fully tuned into all those underlying drivers.
Okay, so we have this internal drive, specific direction, intensity, persistence, fueled internally or externally, consciously or unconsciously.
Not.
Got it. Now, how does that become like actual action? Taking steps. The sources talk about two stages.
Yeah, a common way to think about it is breaking motivation into two phases, goal setting and goal striving. First, you figure out what you want, then you put in the effort to get it. But, it's important to remember, these aren't always neat, separate steps. They often blend together, and your goal might even shift or get clearer as you actually start working on it.
That definitely happens. You start vague and then refine it. And the hypnotherapy source also mentioned we rarely have just one reason for doing something, right? It's usually a mix.
Exactly. A single action can stem from a whole complex mix of motives, conscious, unconscious, intrinsic, extrinsic, all tangled up.
All right, so that's the foundation. Now let's get practical. Psychology Today had some really useful tips for actually achieving goals. The first one that jumped out at me was focusing on learning goals versus performance goals. What's the difference there?
Yeah, that's a really insightful distinction. A performance goal is usually about a specific outcome, hitting a sales target, finishing a project by Friday. A learning goal, though, focuses on gaining new skills or understanding. So instead of lose 15 pounds, which is performance, a learning goal might be learn about different exercises and find one I actually enjoy.
That feels less scary somehow. More about growth. The source gave examples like learn to network effectively instead of just get 50 new connections. Why are those learning goals often more motivating?
Well, they just feel more doable, more in your control. Performance goals can sometimes depend on outside stuff you can't influence. But learning goals? That's about your progress. It kind of shifts the focus, reduces the pressure of hitting a specific number, and builds momentum, which keeps you motivated.
Another good tip was connecting goals to your core life values. How does that boost motivation?
When your goals link up to what you deeply care about, they just get way more meaningful. The source used a great example. If community is a core value for you, then a goal like volunteering isn't just a task, it's like an expression of that value. That connection gives you a stronger sense of purpose, strengthens your commitment. It actually ties into theories like self-determination theory, the importance of autonomy, competence, relatedness values, often define what's related or meaningful.
Yeah, it shifts from an obligation to something that really resonates. Okay, tip three, frame goals as challenges, not threats. That sounds subtle, but powerful.
It really is. How we mentally frame things makes a huge difference.
Mm.
Think about the example. If I don't lower my cholesterol, I might have a heart attack. That's a threat frame.
Yeah, scary.
Versus,
yeah,
I want to lower my cholesterol so I can have more energy and enjoy life more. That's a challenge frame, focusing on the positive gain, the benefits you want.
It's a key difference. Fear works short term, maybe, but it's stressful. A challenge feels more empowering, like about potential. And the last practical tip, the power of social contracts. How does that work?
That taps into our social side. Just telling someone your goal adds a bit of accountability, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to follow through because someone knows. But taking it further, like writing down an agreement, a social contract with specific steps, timelines, maybe even rewards you agree on with someone else, that adds another layer of commitment. It can seriously boost your chances of succeeding.
It's like making it official, adding some positive external pressure. Okay, really actionable stuff there. Now, the source has also mentioned various theories of motivation. We kind of know Maslow's hierarchy, but what about some of these others? What are their core ideas?
True. Maslow's is famous. But yeah, there are lots of other useful ways to look at what drives us. Adams' equity theory. That suggests we're motivated by fairness, how our input-output ratio compares to others we see.
Interesting.
Then Alderfer's ERG theory sort of simplified Maslow, boiling it down to three core needs. Existence, like basic survival, relatedness, social connections, and growth, personal development. And unlike Maslow's strict steps, Alderfer thought you could work on these needs in different orders or even simultaneously.
Okay, more flexible.
Yeah. Goal setting theory just generally highlights how having clear, specific, challenging goals really directs our effort.
And then Hertzberg's two-factor theory. That separates things that cause dissatisfaction from things that cause satisfaction.
Exactly. Hertzberg said things like salary or working conditions, he called them hygiene factors, can prevent you from being unhappy, but they don't necessarily motivate you. Real motivation, real satisfaction, comes from motivators like achievement, recognition, responsibility.
Ah, okay.
Then you have Locke and Latham's specific goal-setting theory, really focusing on conscious goals as the main drivers. And McLuhan's theory of needs suggests we're primarily driven by one of three needs, achievement, affiliation, being liked, or power influence.
And reinforcement theory rewards shaping behavior.
Right. Positive reinforcement is a big one, encouraging actions you want repeated. And finally, Vroom's expectancy theory looks at our decision making. Basically, we ask ourselves, if I try, can I do it? If I do it, will I get a reward? And do I actually want that reward? If the answer to any of those is no, motivation drops.
Wow. Okay. So many different angles. It really shows how complex motivation is. Now, let's shift to that recent evolutionary study. That sounds really unique. What did Galimova and her team find?
Yeah, this 2025 study came at it from an evolutionary angle, looking for the basic human motives likely shaped by, you know, survival and reproduction over millennia. They identified 15 core motives and grouped them into five big categories: environmental, physiological, reproductive, psychological, and social.
Can you give us some examples from each category?
Sure. So under environmental, they put things like the drive to hoard resources and to create. Physiological covers basic stuff. Fear, disgust, hunger, seeking comfort.
Makes sense.
Reproductive includes lust, attracting mates, love, nurturing offspring. Psychological has our curiosity and our drive to play. And social covers needing to affiliate, seeking status, and wanting fairness or justice.
That's a really interesting way to map out our fundamental drives. Makes you think how deep-seated they are. But the study also found differences based on age and gender, right? In what gets prioritized.
That was one of the really striking findings, yeah. They found that younger people tend to prioritize motives around status and play more highly. Older individuals, on the other hand, tend to focus more on comfort and avoiding fear.
Status and play for the young, comfort and fear for the older. Huh. What's the evolutionary thinking behind that shift?
Well, the researchers suggest that for younger people, especially when they're establishing themselves, striving for status and playing are really important for navigating social hierarchies, getting resources, developing skills, you know, adaptability.
Right. Play helps learning. Status helps opportunities.
Exactly. For older individuals, the evolutionary focus might shift more towards, well, preserving well-being, conserving energy, minimizing risks later in life.
That makes a certain intuitive sense looking at it long term. And the study mentioned practical applications, maybe in therapy.
Yeah.
How could knowing these age-related priorities be useful?
Yeah, the study suggests that when working with younger clients, therapists, or really anyone trying to motivate them, might have more success appealing to that desire for status, recognition, or chances for exploration and play.
Yeah.
So framing a tough task as a chance to lead, maybe, or adding game-like elements, that could tap into those core drives.
Yeah.
Conversely, with older individuals, emphasizing comfort, security, addressing anxieties might be more effective for encouraging them towards goals or positive changes.
So tailoring the approach based on these like fundamental age-related drives could be really powerful.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, not just for therapists, but for anyone trying to understand motivation in others or even ourselves at different life stages.
Exactly. It gives a new lens for why certain things resonate more with different age groups.
Okay, so bringing it all together, it's super clear motivation is, well, complex, multifaceted, comes from inside and outside, conscious and unconscious drivers, and our priorities can shift as we age.
Definitely. And those practical tips from Psychology Today offer immediate things we can try, focusing on learning, linking goals to values, positive framing, getting others involved.
Right. So here's a final thought to chew on. Thinking about this evolutionary perspective, these age-related shifts, how might understanding these deeper drives give you a new way to look at your own goals? Or maybe understand why people around you are motivated by certain things? Could framing a challenge around status or play work better for some, while emphasizing comfort or security resonates more with others? Something to reflect on. We hope this deep dive gave you some valuable insights.